T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's get the latest from Green Bay with our insider Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette as he joins Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Merola, on the web at merolalaw.com.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Fantasy football help coming up in about 12 minutes. Kevin Payne, rotowire.com. We'll talk to Mike Clemens in the 9 o'clock hour as well. Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold insider, he joins us Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, right around 8:20. You can follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. PackersNews.com and the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, what's going on?
Hey, Wood.
Not too much. How's it going, guys?
Oh, we're doing good, Wood. We're just trying to figure out what's the deal with trading one of their... Oh, I thought maybe a guy who's going to be a piece on this team, the receiving corps, Trevor Davis.
Phone lines are lit up, people. Just
unreal.
The backlash to the Trevor Davis trade.
Twitter's blowing up.
Oh, my God.
They traded to Oakland. I know Oakland likes speedster wide receivers, but why wasn't he a
fit? Are you going to the Fire Gutekunst rally later today, Chuck, for the Trevor Davis trade?
It's happening Saturday morning in front of Lambeau.
Yeah, I know.
So why did they trade him? Why did they trade Trevor Davis?
Well, first of all, so are people really this upset about that?
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Honestly, Ryan, I think people are just finding out just this very second is what I think's happening, yeah.
So, I mean, I was a little surprised because I did think that when you talk about scheme fit, Trevor Davis, his athleticism, it worked in this LaFleur offense. Trevor Davis is a guy that can get yards after the catch. He's a returner. You get him the ball in the open field, he could kind of create. So I kind of envisioned him having a role in this offense. But the thing you have to remember about Trevor Davis is that he has had a very, very long and frankly poor injury history. Only played 2 games last year, was hurt in camp this year. Really has only had one healthy season so far in the NFL. So this seems, we haven't talked to Brian Gutekunst, so it's kind of speculative, but it seems sort of like a team cashing out on someone's value before there isn't any. Because you don't know what is on the horizon as far as the next injury. So a 6th-round pick for Trevor Davis, he was drafted in the 5th round. It's not bad value overall for a guy who was a late-round pick. I also think that this probably has something to do with the Packers liking what they have in Darius Shepard. Let's remember with Darius Shepard, he's not just an undrafted rookie who made the team from a tryout this spring, but he made the team when he was injured. I mean, the Packers, Darius Shepard had a hamstring injury when he made the Packers 53. A lot of guys who are injured in that situation, they don't make the team. So it does indicate that the Packers like what they have in Darius Shepard, who could be a punt returner, could be a kickoff returner. They also just claimed Tremont Smith, the quarterback from Kansas City, this week, and he's a guy that has pretty extensive kickoff return history as well. So they've got some options there, and it just seems to be that Brian Gutekunst probably wanted to preempt any type of potential injury down the road and get some value while he could.
And you trade him to the Raiders, who saw him in Winnipeg, and, you know, he had a nice game. So if there's a team that's going to give you a 6th-round pick for him, it's probably going to be the Raiders. But with Trevor Davis not being on the team, then you need the punt returner and a kick returner. Could those two guys that you just mentioned, could they split duties? Do you think we'll see one guy handle both duties? Because this Tremont Smith, sometimes the Packers make these moves during the season, and you think, okay, I'll just put that email in the maybe later folder. But then they trade... They trade Trevor Davis this week. So it's like, okay, obviously they like the other options that they have. So do you think you'll see the same guy kicking and returning punts? You know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say. Just answer my question. I'm sorry.
it'll be interesting to see what Sean Manenga, if he tips his hand a little bit later today when we speak with him. I don't really know what they're going to do because, you know, Trevor Davis made it pretty simple to forecast the return game, and now that's the void that's left. I mean, it's not so much, as much as I thought the scheme fit in the offense, Trevor Davis could have a role, the void that's left here is the return game. So, Tremont Smith is more of a kickoff returner than a punt returner. Could he do both, perhaps? Darius Shepherd is a guy that has done both. How healthy is Darius Shepherd? You know, he hasn't played yet this season. He was healthier last week than he was the week before, but is he ready to play this week? I think that's an unknown. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what Sean Manenga has to say about that.
Where do you see the passing game this week in the third week against another good defensive team, the Denver Broncos?
Well, you know, it's the first two teams that the Broncos have played I've really emphasized a quick passing game to try to neutralize Von Miller and Bradley Chubb, and they've had some success doing that. I mean, neither has a sack so far this season. So I would imagine that the Packers will probably try to emulate something along those lines. It'll be interesting, obviously, to see how much Aaron Rodgers holds on to the football and tries to extend plays. Vic Fangio was asked yesterday if he wants Aaron Rodgers to hold on to the ball a little bit longer to give his pass rushers more of a chance. And he said, no, he doesn't, because in his opinion, that usually means that Aaron Rodgers is making big plays. So that they don't want him holding on to the football. But you got to think, to give those edge rushers a chance, it would behoove the Broncos to be able to have Aaron Rodgers do that. I think that's the thing to watch this week is how long is Aaron Rodgers holding on to the ball, as opposed to getting it out quick, because those guys on the edge of that defense, there is no drop-off this week. Week one, the Packers go against Khalil Mack. Last week, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter. This week with Chubb and Miller, those guys are as good of an outside linebacking, edge-rushing tandem that there is in the league.
Talking with Ryan Wood, you can follow him on Twitter, by Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, as well as Packers News. .com. Aaron Jones in last week's game, 23 carries, so he crosses that 20 carry mark for the first time ever. 116 yards, 5 yards a carry, and a touchdown. Matt LaFleur yesterday saying they want to level that out between Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I know that they like what both of those guys do, but you know, I think there's a lot of people like me that see Aaron Jones and then 23 carries and think, yes, we want more of that. So the news that they may try to even those things out, Ryan, is a little disheartening to a lot of people.
Yeah, I certainly can understand that. I was curious which way Matt LaFleur would go when I asked him if that's something that Aaron Jones can handle each week, or if you know, he needs to be preserved through the season. I get what Matt LaFleur is saying, though. I mean, it's week two. This is week three. To have that type of workload from a guy who has never showed that he can handle it before, it's a risk. It's a high-stake risk because Aaron Jones, I mean, if Davante Adams is 1A as far as a playmaker in this offense, Aaron Jones is 1B, and then you skip down to, like, 4. I mean, there's a huge gap between those two guys and everyone else in this offense right now. So you need both of those guys, Adams and Jones, to be healthy, to be at their best late in the season. But obviously the balance is, if you want to make a playoff push late in the season, you got to win games in September and October, and Aaron Jones gives them the best chance to win. So just like it was with Mike McCarthy, it's going to be fascinating to see how Matt LaFleur kind of balances this need to have Aaron Jones stay fresh and healthy with the fact that Aaron Jones is their dynamic guy in the backfield. And I think that's going to be some tinkering, and Matt LaFleur said, some weeks it'll depend on the game plan and who they're playing and how much they give him the ball. There's no question, though, that the Packers obviously view Aaron Jones as their best runner, their best playmaker in the backfield. You've seen that in the carries disparity in the first 2 weeks going against good defenses. I would imagine that over the long haul that will even out.
Defensive side of the football, Dean Lowry through 2 weeks, especially the Viking game, impact player.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, Kenny Clark gets a lot of love, and rightly so. And Dean Lowry's not Kenny Clark, but he's been pretty good as a second defensive lineman. And, you know, he's a guy he's gotten some penetration on the interior, which is something you like to see. And he's, you know, he's done that in the past. He's kind of quietly a consistent guy for them and a reliable guy. And so you got the two of them. And Dean Lowry, Ed Kidding Clark, which is what you need really in the nickel. They haven't really missed Mike Daniels' departure yet. Now, over the long course of the season, if there's injuries, will they? We don't know that yet, but Dean Lowry's kind of stepped right up and been pretty good.
All right, let's talk about something you want to talk about, the New York Mets. The Brewers are tied with the Cubs for that second wild card spot, and with the Mets and Phillies winning last night, both of those teams are three back. You're a big Mets guy. Should the Brewers in any way be looking in the rearview mirror at the New York Mets?
I mean, I see that Brewers schedule, and it makes me want to cry. All right, so they don't play anybody. They got to win the games, but to have the Pirates coming up next.
Yeah, they're a disaster.
But you know what?
They're a mess.
Yeah, but you know
the Pirates.
But in defense of the Brewers have played all these tough teams already. They've gone through that stretch.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so are the Mets. The Mets went through a 31 and 34 game stretch of playing plus 500 teams. So, but you know, you're right. And the Brewers, the thing that's remarkable with the Brewers is that they lose Christian Yelich and they just keep winning. That's pretty amazing. Now, the Cubs, to me, are the much bigger mess right now than the Brewers. The Brewers have, you know, they've struggled the past couple games, but the Cubs got 7 games coming up against the Cardinals, whereas the Brewers get the Pirates and then the Reds and then the Rockies. You know, now closing 6 on the road, you know, it's not ideal, but when you're not, they don't play anybody. So I would imagine they're in good shape. I'm almost, as a Mets fan, I'm almost hoping that the Cubs and the Nationals can collapse more down the stretch than the Brewers.
I would like to see the Nationals, Cubs, Brewers, Phillies and Mets all tie for the wild card spot.
We'll be having playoff games until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
How would that even work? Like, honestly, I don't cover baseball, so I have no idea.
Well, no, and it's different because in the NFL, you just look at, well, who did the best against the AFC
right.
or something you're in. The baseball would have to find a way to play those games out. There's even one scenario where if the Brewers are tied with a couple of teams, they can choose to play the winner. If there's a 3-game tie, and I'm sorry I don't have this more accurate, but if there's a 3-team tie, those two teams could play each other, and then the winner would play the Brewers at home, or the Brewers could play both of those teams on the road and try to. I don't know. It's really weird. It's really stupid, but they'd have to play all these games out, and I don't know how they would do it, and that's why I want to see it happen.
It's been a fascinating National League race. I mean, it really has, and the fact that my New York Mets have been a part of it is. Made it that much more fascinating for me, at least on a personal level. But yeah, I mean, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't hoping for some losses from that NL Central coming down the stretch.
I think what's going to happen here: the teams that don't get the wild card are all going to lose their managers. If the Cubs don't get a wild card, madness gone. Kapler's going to lose his job in Philadelphia if the Phillies don't get it.
Oh, you don't put the Brewers into that mix, do you?
No. I just said three teams.
Okay,
three teams.
Okay.
And then the Mets with Callaway. If the Mets don't win it, I think Callaway's gone. So I think those three teams right there, they don't get the postseason. They don't get that wild card spot. The managers are done.
Well, first of all, hallelujah, amen to the Mets getting a new manager. Secondly, if that does happen with the Cubs, if they don't renew Joe Maddon, I'll never understand that. I will never understand that. The guy wins you a World Series. You're the Chicago Cubs. It hasn't happened since 1908. And you're not going – I mean, I'll never understand it.
Orange and Blue Insider Ryan Wood joining us. Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying I'd love the Mets to take him, though.
Oh, yeah.
I would take him for that.
If the Brewers had an opening for a manager, I'd take him to the second. I'd take Joe Maddon.
Ryan, we'll catch up with you. We'll see what happens as the Mets. The Mets have the day off, so you should be able to be comfortable tonight. And then we'll talk more baseball with you tomorrow, 8:20.
Yep, all right. I'm breathing a little better tonight with the off day and hoping that the Cardinals beat the Cubs.
Ryan Wood joining us. Thanks, Ryan.
All right, take care.
Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common sense lending to your community since 1935.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.